Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
And Newell has the day off. To clear up any confusion, I'm Don Dubuque filling in for Newell. Thanks for tuning in. And coming up next hour, we're going to talk everything you wanted to know about the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. It's director Ronnie Rance, it's producer Chris Lecoq, and three of the inductees from the Metro New Orleans area will be joining us to talk about this event that's coming up, the award ceremony in June. First time ever it'll be televised. If you've never seen it, there's quite an extensive list of honorees that have been inducted into that foundation over the number of years, and we'll talk to them more about that. This hour, we're going to talk about the U.S. military. We got news the Army is poised to easily hit its recruiting target this year as the service has made some enormous gains in filling the ranks ahead of its traditional summer rush of new enlistments. As of last week, the Army had enlisted 51,837 recruits, or 85% of its 61,000 target for fiscal 2025. That's according to service data provided to the military.com, and that has not been the case for several years. We're going to explore the reasons why it was down and why it may now be resurging. Joining us to talk about this is the host of the Veterans Impact Show, Jim Blythe. Jim, thanks for taking some time to talk with us about the military.
Well, thank you, Don. It's one of my favorite subjects, and I got to tell you, I love New Orleans. Pardon me, got allergies and it's raining up here in Dallas right now like cats and dogs.
Well, that means we'll be getting it sometime later. We get whatever you guys get out about several hours later.
Well, yeah, and it's always an honor to talk about our military. And yes, the Army is up, the Navy is up, Air Force is up, Marine Corps is always doing great. Everybody's doing good. And so you asked me, what are some of the reasons for that? So what I was going to tell you is, first of all, the Army started a program several years ago called Future Soldiers, and the Navy followed that with Future Sailors. And basically what we ran into, and here, Don, here's an interesting statistic. Of the available pool of young men and women that could qualify for the military in the United States, only about 23% of them can actually qualify for either health, physical, mental, or judicial or academic reasons. That's a pretty frightening statistic and a big indictment of our school system. So what the Army did, and then the Navy followed with this future program, they go out a period of time, I think it's about 90 days, and they start a remedial education program to bring these kids up to academic standards. So one of the people has said to me, some people have said to me, well, they just lowered their standards. No, they didn't. They raised the kids' abilities to pass these up. They raised them up and gave them a hand up. And the, both the Navy and the Army have been doing that. And so I think that's a big testimony right there. Also, without a doubt, they're giving out military bonuses for enlistment. Some of them are up to $40,000. You just mentioned military.com. If you go to military.com website and you ask about military bonuses, let me tell you something. There's quite a few, and it depends on your education depends on your civilian experience. Man, there are bonuses for jobs in the military that are pretty outstanding. So you got to go in and do your education.
It's interesting. There are a lot of new opportunities in the military that have not existed before, particularly with the Space Force and some of the new technology that's there. It's incredible the gains that have been made in military technology.
It is really true. And again, you mentioned the drones and what that's part of the new warfare. There's also a lot of opportunities in cyber technology and warfare. This is a different world than when I served in Vietnam. And so these kids are really, really adapting and getting opportunities out there. And one of the other big things is when you go into the military as a young kid out of high school, you open yourself up to all kinds of experiences in leadership and team building and working together. And then you can get bonuses. Then you can also get, with the GI Bill, educational benefits. So going into the military today is a huge step up and a huge step forward for a lot of kids and a way to get to college. And Don, I'll tell you another thing too. A lot of young men and women are signing up for the ROTC programs, the Army ROTC, the Air Force, the Navy. Those are really great. And we always think about the academies, but did you ever think of, well, what's the program that might be at LSU? What's the program that's at the University of Texas? What's at Oklahoma? What's in Arkansas? There are all kinds of ROTC-type programs, that scholarships that you can go through all of your college and it's paid for. And then you spend your 6 years to pay that back to the military, but it's 6 years of on-the-job experience. So I think a lot of these kids today are looking for real opportunity and a head start in life. Now, also, there's a lot of statistics that kids today are looking at college educations going, that's not for me. So technical schools, you can also pay for that. And the jobs in the military are incredibly technical. I mean, you name it, and they do it. So it's a lot of opportunity that's opened up.
As far as the image of the military, it had kind of been tarnished over the last several years. Is that turning around now? Is that part of the reason why people are saying, oh, it's cool to be in the military now, where before they didn't think so?
Well, without a doubt. And I'm going to, because I'm in the press, just like you are, make a kind of indictment of our national press. Really didn't do us any favors. And this goes back to Vietnam when I served. So, yes, I think there are a lot of kids who are looking at this today as the adventure, the opportunity. And then one of the big things, Don, is there are so few veterans around that are able to explain this. And so one of the things that's been a call to action that I've had is for veterans to get out and be part of mentoring programs. Help single-parent families. Be a grandfather. Be a father to the fatherless and grandfatherless. And we're getting more and more of that through our VFWs, American Legions, other organizations. And I think you're right. There's a lot of political that people say, well, I didn't want to serve under this previous administration, and I feel like the administration now has got our backs. That's somebody's opinion. I don't want to get into that. But without a doubt, I think that the current administration is taking a much, much better view. And that's pervasive across the nation. Leadership starts at the top.
Well, the debacle in Afghanistan certainly did nothing to help the reputation of the military or the recruitment. That's for sure.
Well, let me tell you, it wasn't the military. The military was one that were furious about what happened. And that's hurt us because a lot of the recruits, Don, are also parts of military families. And, you know, I'm third generation Navy to served in combat. Many of the recruits today, they had aunts, uncles, fathers, grandfathers that served in the military. That's pretty common. It's also kind of known as the family business. But Don, would you have said to your kid after what happened there and what was going on in some of the other places and how things were being cut back and funds were being taken out of the VA and given into places where it shouldn't have been? What would you say? And so I think a lot of that has been is being corrected.
Absolutely. Jim, if you stay with me, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to share some of these comments I'm getting in from the listeners. I'm asking them, would they do it again? If they enlisted or were they a draftee like I was and went through it, would you do it again for the experience or would you not? And get you to comment on that. 504-260- That's it, 504-260-1870. That's our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We'd love to hear from you. Call us or text us. We're talking with Jim Blythe, the host of the Veterans Impact Show, and we're talking about the military, a major recruiting momentum going on here in 2025. We'll be back right after.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
To this. And the topic this hour, we're talking about the U.S. military. Joining us is Jim Blythe, the host of the Veterans Impact Show. And Jim, before I get to some of these listener comments for you to comment on, tell me more about the Veterans Impact Show.
Well, Don, thank you very much. We actually started as a radio program here in Dallas on an AM station. And over time, it's morphed from that into podcasting. And now it's a TV program. And we're carried on 11 independent stations in California, as well as an internet TV network that puts us on Amazon Fire, Roku, Spotify, Apple TV, and a whole bunch more. And you can go to Facebook, you can go to YouTube, and it's Veterans Impact Show, and take a look at what we do, because we bring veterans to the that are doing great things in the community, and we talk about that and how they're bringing leadership to bring this nation back together.
Jim, I served in the military in the U.S. Army 1971 to 73, same time you were in doing Vietnam, and when I was drafted, didn't like the idea of going, was married and was supporting a child, and plucked me out of society and put me in a uniform and gave me a gun and looked like I was headed to Vietnam, and all of a sudden the orders came down and they sent me to Germany, where I was stationed in a missile defense unit on the East and West German border there and served out my time. And despite the fact that I was reluctant to go but felt it was my duty. After it was all over and looking back at it all these years, I was glad I went in. It was a great experience. Of course, it was a much smaller world then. We didn't have social media, and I got to meet different people from all over the country with different points of views, different cultures in Europe, and also had a much better understanding all about our military from having served. So that's the question I'm putting out there for the audience, and I'm going to probably consolidate a few of these and then get get you to comment on them, Jim. Here's one that says, good morning. As I reflect on 31-plus years of military service to include multiple combat tours, I would absolutely do it again. My wife also served on active duty, and ultimately it has been our sincere honor and privilege to serve in support of our nation's security. Thank you. That is from PJ, an Army vet in Honolulu. Another one says, Navy veteran here, I would absolutely do it all over again. Well, except for being in the middle of the Indian Ocean when the AC went out in our berthing compartment. That wasn't fun.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was. I got to tell you, that's what I hear from just about every veteran, especially those that were career. And the tools and things that they learn, not only the technical, but the leadership, the team building, it's carried forward in life. Now, I was very, very fortunate in that I was drafted, but because I had done some things for the Navy and Navy Reserve, they got me into the Navy, and I was thrilled. I'm third generation Navy. And one of the things is the people I met were absolutely fantastic. I would do it all over again. The biggest mistake I made was when I got out, I went back to college because I was in SMU at the time and basically got drafted because there was no absolute written draft laws. It was up to the draft board, and everybody in my draft board went to college. So, man, they blanket drafted all of us. That isn't going to happen anymore. Our volunteer force is totally different. So, for me, would I do it over again? Absolutely. And let me tell you, by doing the program we do, we are also instructors with Sea Cadets, working with young men and women in high school that are in Sea Cadets. I do a lot of events. I emceed a remembrance of the end of the Vietnam War on the 30th. I'm very, very involved, and I encourage veterans to get involved in the community. And yes, not everything we did was always fun. Sometimes it was a lot worse than just no air conditioning. But I was on aircraft carriers in Vietnam. I made three trips. John McCain was one of my pilots. My squadron had 12 killed in action and five POWs. But I would always do it over again. And I have never really met anybody who would say, I wouldn't do it over again. I wish they would have done things differently. I wish things would happen differently, for instance, with the Camp Lejeune stuff. But all of them have said the same thing. I'd do it all over again.
I got some more comments here. This one says, I'm retired Navy. So glad you're having this conversation. Well overdue. Great job. Another says, join the Navy and see the world. I did. It's big and mostly water.
Well, let me tell you. My grandfather started stoking coal in 1920 in the South Pacific. I ended up in Vietnam in the Western Pacific and South Pacific. I got to go to Singapore. I got to go to Hong Kong. I got to see both northern and southern Japan. I got to go to Tokyo. I got to go to the Philippines many times in and out of Hawaii. And I got to tell you, when you stand at attention entering port as we man the rails and you pull up along on the other side of the canal from the Arizona Memorial, you have a lump in your throat, buddy, let me tell you. So, yeah, I did see the world, and it was amazing. And we had all kinds of opportunities as well. Our chaplains aboard ship, they organized guys to go out and work on orphanages or work on schools and help people. I got to meet all of the guys with the Royal First Welch in Hong Kong that were guarding the Chinese border when Hong Kong was still under British protection. And then when I was in Singapore, I made friends with a whole bunch of British Royal Marines. Another time in Hong Kong, I got to go aboard a British destroyer and have rum ration and get to meet those guys. So if you take the opportunities, if you jump out there and go, man, you're going to have an exciting time. And Don, it was crazy. One of the things that happened to me is my squadron got four tandem seat A4s, And they asked, anybody want to volunteer to fly in the back seat? And I did. And I flew for 4.5 months in a jet fighter bomber in all the training missions up at Fallon, Nevada. I'm still close friends with all of my pilots today. So a lot of people say, oh, never volunteer for anything. Uh-uh, man. Be selective, but volunteer. And I got to tell you, attitude equals altitude. Yes, it was a great experience for me. And by the way, I did Armed Forces Radio on the Oriskany, and I understand that WWL is a CBS affiliate. I actually taped a recording of an interview with a pilot coming back from Vietnam that was played on CBS Radio.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I was a big fan of Armed Forces Network when I was in Europe. It kind of kept me going, you know. There was no TV or anything else, and Armed Forces Network was there, and I really appreciate it. Jim, I'm getting a lot of comments about concern about the Veterans Administration, some cuts that are being made. Are these cuts within line? Or have you researched that? Do you know anything about it? Are these things that are well-warranted, that there's a lot of waste and maybe abuse that's been going on in the VA, and these cuts are necessary to make it a better administration?
I'd love to say with a resounding yes that that's true, because I have had some good experiences and some bad experiences. There are great doctors. I encourage people to go to the VA all the time. I was asked by the head of benefits for the state of Texas to sign up for the PACT Act. And I did, and I was surprised. There's a lot of good, but like any, this is the largest health organization in the world, okay? There are some bad players. There have been some bad players. And I think it's really on a selected basis, and they're trying to go through and weed out. And I say to people, I'm not going to worry about it, because I think the cream will come to the top, and I think the bad players will go on. There are a lot of people, and I've experienced it, who really don't need to be in the VA. But I'm not throwing the VA under the bus, because they do a lot. I have done a lot for the VA in terms of broadcasting. Under the previous Trump administration, I had Secretary Wilkie on 3 times. I had the benefits on many times. I worked with the director of the North Texas VA, and I was on national things for the VA. I believe in the VA. I do believe the VA has problems. But let me tell you something. One of the biggest problems that I hear all the time is, well, I can't get an appointment as fast as I want. I got news for you. I not only have VA, but I have my own private deal. And it takes me 6 to 7 months to get an appointment with my cardiologist unless I'm falling down and going to ER. So, and there are mistakes that are made. A friend of mine who was on Medicare went to a hospital here in Dallas, and they said, well, you need a checkup. You need an angiogram. He didn't get off the table. It happens in the civilian world, okay? Again, you're dealing with the largest healthcare system in the world. Here's the thing about the VA, though. The VA, in most cases, understands us, and it's not just one thing, but multiple things. Now, also, I interviewed Dr. Benjamin Kligler, who's now, I believe, he's head of integrative health. The VA is learning and growing about integrative health. I volunteer with an integrative health community care company here in Dallas that has phenomenal results. They've treated over 5,000 veterans, and there are clinical studies being done on what they did. This is all improving, and I think under Doug Collins, we're going to see some really wonderful improvements. Do we need them? I got to tell you, the medical system in the United States, in many cases, not just the VA, is broken. I mean, doctors, I hear it all the time. Well, I can't make money with integrative health. I can't do that. So you're pushing pills. You're not helping people. And that's the civilian doctors I've heard that from. There are other civilian doctors who are like, Jim, can you help us? We want to know more about integrative health. We want to know more about what we can do. So you name it, you're going to run into all kinds of experiences, good, bad, and indifferent. My experience medically with the VA is great. Some of the experience I've had with some of the bureaucrats, some are fantastic, some are not. But isn't that true of anything? So I think what we're going to see is some great improvements. Are there places where costs could be cut? Well, no doubt in my mind, because of what I've seen in terms of funding and what I know happened that I got from two congressmen, plus I read that they were taking huge amounts of money out of the VA medical system and putting it into another medical system to support the illegal. Don, that doesn't cut it with me. And the VA had a $3 billion deficit in 2024. And they really didn't want to account for it. And that was because of the administration. I think the previous administration did a lot of harm to the VA, in my opinion. And I'm sure there are Democrats who would want to argue with me, but the facts tell it the way it is. Look at what DOGE has found in terms of funds that were misappropriated, misallocated. So is it some? Yes. Is it a great system? Yes. Would I recommend somebody to go to it who's a young veteran? Absolutely. You know, but like anything, you got to have an advocate. You got to know what you're doing. The other thing that I would like to mention, if I can, Don, getting into the VA healthcare system or using VA benefits has always been a paperwork problem. That's a polite way of saying it. There are VA accredited reps throughout the United States. In the state of Texas, with the Texas Veterans Commission, we have VA accredited reps that are paid, that are free throughout the state of Texas in almost every county. They can handle the paperwork for you. Trying to tackle the VA paperwork is a nightmare. And I know a lot of elderly people who just gave up. But I have been able to connect with my connections throughout the nation, people with VA accredited reps that have been able to get the paperwork boondoggle over with. And this week, on Monday, I'm interviewing a guy named Joe Loomis. And Joe has a Turbo Vet program that they're rolling out to make it even easier to access. I also have heard Doug Collins saying, we want to make it easier. And so I think we're going to see some great improvements.
Very good. Hopefully this will be a new day for the military. I mean, reinstall pride, which is very important in being proud of your military, which I think that has suffered over the past several years. And I see that turning around, and hopefully the VA can become a more efficient administration that it can help more and more veterans. And, just to kind of wrap up, I got this one in from a listener named Old Man Sam. And he says, when people thank me for my service, my reply is, it wasn't always a pleasure, but it was always my honor. Thank you for the recognition. And yeah, I do it all over again. That's from Sam.
Well, tell Sam that I agree with him. It wasn't always fun, but my God, driving on the freeways, whether it's in Louisiana or in Texas, that ain't fun either. and you know, I got to tell you, when you look at it, this is a microcosm of our American culture, American national, and I think we are changing to a better nation right now, and probably would have people getting upset, but I think the allocations of funds, resources, the attitudes, you know, that a lot of really, really radical people, the Democratic Party that I see today is not the Democratic Party that I knew 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. So I think we're going to see improvements all the way around, and that's good. My message is we need to work together, and we need to quit disparaging each other. We need to quit fighting each other. We need to quit saying bad things, and we need to start working together. And that's what I've said to the congressman that I know and said, guys, we got to work together to bring this nation back together.
Well put. Jim, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. Really appreciate it. If you ever get down this way, look me up.
Don't worry, man. I tell you what, we'll go have dinner at Antoine's. I know the family that owns it.
Well, we can do that, and then we'll get some crawfish, too.
Hey, buddy, you got it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you so much, Don. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, that's Jim Blythe, host of the Veterans Impact Show. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We come back. We're going to talk about the Gulf of America versus Gulf of Mexico. Which do you choose? I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what the executive order does and does not do. And you tell me, what's your opinion? Is it Gulf of America, or is it always going to be Gulf of Mexico? 504-260-1870. That is our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. I'm Don Dubuque in for Newell Norman on a Friday here on the Big 870 WWL. You know, there's a saying someone famous once said that you can make some of the people happy all of the time. You can make all of the people happy some of the time, but you can never make all of the people happy all of the time. And I think that is exemplified in our text message board, because I got one text regarding last guest says, thanks, Don, for allowing the guest to speak. Great segment. And then about three text lines above that, it says, why not actually conduct an interview rather than just let him talk? So there you go. All the people happy all the time ain't going to happen. Well, not everybody's happy about the president's executive order 14172, which was signed on January 20th. And it directed the Interior Secretary to adopt the name Gulf of America. And the U.S. Interior Department did that, and they said they would use the name Gulf of America from January 24th on. Now, this executive order does not compel the use of that name by non-federal agencies, private companies, or foreign entities, and certainly individuals who don't want to change to Gulf of America. But it officially, according to the U.S. Department of the Interior, is now the Gulf of America. And it has actually brought about some changes. One organization that I get regularly press releases from, which was the Gulf Council, they have now changed their name, and they are just strictly the Gulf Council instead of the Gulf of Mexico Fishery Management Council was the official name. It was the Gulf of Mexico Fishery Management Council. Now it's just called themselves the Gulf Council. They're changing their logo. They're changing their website and everything else. So what is your opinion? Are you going to call it the Gulf of America? I've had a lot of listeners that have asked me, since it's now the Gulf of America, not the Gulf of Mexico, do all those fishing regulations that apply to the Gulf of Mexico not apply to Gulf America? Well, most state agencies that border the Gulf, in fact, I think all of them have said the laws that pertain to the Gulf of Mexico are automatically transferred to the new Gulf of America. So don't get any ideas. You'll do it at your own peril if you decide to break the law and use the alibi that, well, that regulation was for the Gulf of Mexico, not for the Gulf of America. And most of the text message I've got here are just pretty simple, saying it's Gulf of America, Gulf of America. And some did say it was the Gulf of Mexico and will always be the Gulf of Mexico. I think it's been the Gulf of Mexico since sometime in the 1700s when it was named. So change comes hard. I remember the Superdome. People refer to it as the Superdome. And the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, nobody said, I'm going to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. And a lot of these other stadiums, the names just seem to stick, and I think people will be calling it the Gulf of Mexico for a long, long time. But officially and technically, it is the Gulf of America. What do you think? Now, some people say they just call it the Gulf, and one says, I'm going to call it the Gulf. What do you think? 504-260-1870. That's our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back to get your comments and tell you what's coming up in hour number three at the noon hour of the Newell Norman Show right here on the Big 870 WWL. Well, let's look at some of the comments coming in on whether it is Gulf of America or Gulf of Mexico. Which is it to you? This one says it's always been the Gulf. Just go fishing in it. That's from Captain Todd, Cajun Fishing Adventures guy. Let's see. Here's one says, calling the Gulf of America is a vote for Trump. That will never happen for me. Well, I don't know if it's an actual vote calling the name of a body of water. Here's one says it will always be the Gulf of Mexico, just like it will always be Lee's Circle. A rose by any other name is still a rose. And this one says, more silly nonsense from Donald Trump. When the airlines and the maritime industry start using Gulf of America, then I'll start using Gulf of America. Until then, Gulf of Mexico, thank you very much. This one says, it's always been the Gulf in my family and friends. I thought the picture of the Pensacola sign with America in place of Mexico was an internet hoax. We were there recently. It really was changed. It's changed on Google as well. I don't see how our president can change it. Well, it's done with an executive order, and it can be redone with another executive order. Maybe it'll be called the Gulf of Mexico officially once again. Well, you know, there may be a solution, although, you know, it's up to the individual and private companies and foreign nations to call it whichever they choose. Maybe a compromise is in order. Maybe we could call it the Gulf of a Mexico, or we could call it the Gulf of Mexamerica. And that way, everybody'd be happy. All the people, all the time, as they say. All right, when we come back, Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. What do you know about it? You'll find out a lot about it from this director, Ronnie Rance, and a producer of the awards event, the ceremony that's coming up next month, from Chris LeCocq. And you'll hear from Glenn Gilbo, Robin Daniels, wife of Ed Daniels, and Joe Sherman. They are inductees who will be entering into the organization next month. We'll talk to them right here on the Big 870.